You do have to prepare. You might know the answers, but you need to know how to debate.
Exactly.
Look, if I were debating and somebody were to make a comment that I didn't agree with, I'd probably take some notes. And then when it's my turn, I'm going to blow them up.
Right.
When it's my turn, I'm not going to talk over them and then no one can hear what anyone's saying. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. I'm Mark Tepper, joined by Derek Gabrielson.
Mark, what's going on, man?
I'm recovering from last night's debate. So I know this isn't going to be published until, you know, next Wednesday.
Yep.
But I'm recovering from that debacle.
Debacle is a great word.
Thank you.
I mean, honestly, you know, I was thinking about this today. I think it's time we pull out our first swear word. You
know, have an explicit lyric.
A complete and total shit show. There's no other way to describe it.
Oh, it was just awful. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Start to finish, it was a disaster. So I want to talk a little bit about, I think we'd be remiss if we did not talk about the debate.
Right.
Now, we had like three other ideas for the show that we had to scrap because we had to talk about this.
Yep.
But then I kind of want to segue into what would be the stock market reaction to a contested election.
Yep.
Because that is something that you normally don't wake up the day after the election and not know who the president is.
Right.
And it is almost a guarantee we are not going to know this year.
It's virtually a guarantee. And I think the last time was you and I were watching it together back in college, I think. 2000 election.
Gore and Bush.
Hanging chads.
Yep.
The whole thing.
So that was not good for the stock market.
No.
Market was down 8.4% throughout that process.
Oh, really?
Until that's Gore actually conceded. 8.4%.
Right.
So guess what, guys? That's what lies ahead.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about a lot of great stuff on the show. But at the end of the day, the market hates uncertainty.
Hates it. Hates uncertainty. And do you think we were able to eliminate any of that uncertainty after last night's debacle?
No, I do not.
No, 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 no. Look, there was no winner. Trump should have won. I think everyone who's listening to this knows my political position. You know, I'm a business owner. I manage money for people on Main Street. So I've never kept that a secret. I'm a capitalist. So you know how I feel about this. But I expected Trump to have a better showing. I think he laid an egg. Biden's hurdle was extremely low. So the fact that he was able to just stand for 90 minutes probably worked to his benefit.
Right.
I mean, he did ask for two sit-down breaks. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild, given it was only a 90-minute debate. But you had those two things going on. Chris Wallace was just getting railroaded. I mean, he had no control. Absolutely no control.
It looked like no plan either.
Right.
Like, what did he think was going to happen?
Yeah. Amazing. So, you know, I'm not sure of the format, but what were your main takeaways from what happened yesterday?
Well, I'll give everyone, before we get into that, I'll just give everyone a brief update on the betting odds. So you basically, Real Clear Politics kind of summarizes all of the different betting websites, whether it's an actual betting website like Bovada or other political websites. So basically, around June 1st is when it first diverged. That is when Biden overtook Donald Trump as far as the odds were concerned. Basically, Biden went up 48 to 47% as of that date and then took off. So June and July, this kind of the widest the spread has been. Biden was up to almost 60% and Trump was down to about 37%. All of that kind of reversed course over the last couple of months to start September. Trump had it basically back to even. Before the debate last night, it was basically 54.8 Biden to 44.3 Trump.
So 54-44?
Yep, so pretty close. But after that debate last night, I would say kind of surprisingly, because Trump did a very poor job, but I thought still won on some of the policies that were out there. But it went back up big to Biden. So currently, right after the debate, Joe Biden has about a 59.4% chance of winning, according to the betting odds. Donald Trump has a 40.9% chance of winning.
So I guess we know who the betting odds think won the debate.
Right.
My take on this is, so first things first, the betting odds are great, but I can tell you that one of our research resources that we use, they've come up with their own proprietary model. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like they've used it for like the last 10 elections or something like that. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it has accurately predicted the popular vote to within like 0.3 of a percent. Now, I understand the popular vote is not as important because we have an electoral college, but the popular vote still matters in winning the electorates. As of yesterday, before the debate, they had Trump's popular vote at like 49.2%, which means things were a lot closer yesterday than the polls and the betting odds actually lead you to believe. Because a lot of people feel like the stock market and the direction of the dollar, approval rating, you know, all those different things are actually more important than betting odds and polling, right? Because I don't know who gets polled. I haven't been polled. I would assume that the people who would be most likely to respond to a poll are those people who want change. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Because if you don't want change, I'm just not going to respond. What does it do for me? So, you know, there's that, right? But obviously, after the debate last night, if this is the case, if Joe Biden won, then I would say that the percentage of the popular vote probably went down for President Trump. I don't think Joe Biden won, but I think Donald Trump did not win. And I guess since Biden was leading coming into this, it kind of means Biden won by default, right? Just because Trump didn't win, like Biden kind of won.
As far as the polling goes, the mainstream thoughts out there, it seemed like it was pretty darn even to maybe Trump a little bit behind. And this debate was really Trump's chance to get a lot of those questions that were out there about him for undecided voters, where he could talk directly to them, right?
Yep.
It's not filtered through the media that's, at the very least, not very honest most of the time. So it was his chance to really make his case directly to the people. And I thought he failed. I thought there were several chances in there where he could have made strong, concise statements, kind of refuting some of the conspiracy theories out there. And it just kind of devolved into him kind of shouting over Biden at times. The actual debate component was what was really missing, right?
Yeah, there was no debate.
And that's what a lot of people wanted to see. If you're actually tuning into a debate, you're interested in as to what these guys' ideas are. And it was just totally lost in the complete kind of clown show that it turned into.
Yeah. So let's put this in context, and then I'll give you my take on some of the key takeaways from last night's debate, or if you're listening to this when it's published, a week ago's debate. But if you go back over the course of the last several presidential re-election debates, the incumbent president almost always loses the first debate. Almost always.
Great point.
And the research resources that we have said that's because, number one, they typically don't prepare. They've been in that seat for 4 years. They don't think they have to prepare. Now, you do have to prepare. You might know the answers, but you need to know how to debate.
Exactly.
Look, if I were debating and somebody were to make a comment that I didn't agree with, I'd probably take some notes. And then when it's my turn, I'm going to blow them up.
Right.
When it's my turn, I'm not going to talk over them and then no one can hear what anyone's saying, right? So they don't prepare. Number two, they've been in the White House bubble and haven't been challenged and had to defend their position. Well, Trump's been challenged since before he took office.
Right.
That shouldn't apply here. That's why I think I had some higher expectations for what he was going to bring to the table. But I do think it was pretty clear that he did not work with a debate coach. He may have worked with Rudy Giuliani and a few other people who grilled him with questions and maybe he answered them, but there was no awesome debate tactics that he employed. So you go back and you look at Barack Obama. He blew the first debate against Mitt Romney. And then he recovered for debates two and three, and he ended up winning. In 2004, GW got crushed by John Kerry in the first debate. And then he came back. Ronald Reagan got crushed. So this is typical. And typically what happens is the incumbent president, after the first debate, they drop 2% in the polls. So it's not like this has never happened before, but it was still a little disappointing, to say the least. So here are a few of my takeaways. I don't know what Trump was trying to do. I really don't. I figured that he would want to expose Joe Biden. There's been this hiding Biden strategy where everyone says Biden's been hiding in his basement. As long as he doesn't get in front of a camera and a microphone, he's safe. His goal has been just to not screw up. Not to say anything meaningful, but just to not screw up. And I can tell you, Donald Trump did not give him a chance to screw up yesterday.
You got to let the guy talk.
He was screwing up every single response, D.
He screwed it all up.
Every response, he was screwing up. He was stumbling over his words. He couldn't answer any question directly. But Donald Trump, he saved him off the ropes. It was just a bad, bad tactic. Should have let Biden struggle. And then when it was his turn, you could bring to everyone's attention, hey, I don't know if you just listened or not, but Joe Biden did not answer the question.
Right.
Which he was pretty good at not answering the questions. He would actually look in the camera and say, you need to vote. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It was his go-to.
He's also from Scranton, in case you didn't know.
Okay. You said that 100 times, right? He didn't mention corn pop, though.
No.
I was a little disappointed there. Yeah. So, you know, Trump never took advantage of Biden's biggest flaw, the inability to directly answer a question with a coherent and logical argument.
And that's what the Biden voters are going to be Biden voters. The Trump voters are going to be Trump voters.
Yeah.
It didn't matter for
right.
them. What you're really looking to do is sway those undecided and independent voters. And in the research I was doing for this, those people were not swayed. And he had so many chances, Trump that is, to get those people behind him more based on the questions that were out there. Trump should also know kind of what's coming at him, even though it was a Fox debate. The questions from the media are going to be slanted against you.
Chris Wallace is a registered Democrat, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
He's a registered Democrat. I don't have that evidence, but I've heard that from like 17 people over the last 2 days.
Right.
So I would assume that's accurate. Could be fake news like everything else nowadays, but that is what I heard, that he is a registered Democrat. And if you think about it, D, Chris did hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire as it related to the $750 income
right.
tax thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not hold Joe Biden's feet to the fire as it related to Hunter Biden getting millions of dollars from overseas.
Right.
Donald Trump had to bring that up to even get it into the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then Donald Trump kind of messed it up by talking over him when he was trying
right.
to answer.
Right.
And Biden just said basically that that wasn't true and it's already been refuted. Like, that is not true. I mean, it's clearly...
It's brand new.
It's new information, but Hunter Biden received $3.5 million
yeah.
over 9 or 11 payments. I forgot what I read. But that is 100% true.
Right.
It happened.
I'll tell you, what I think Biden's strongest moment of the debate, though, was when he did admit that his son had a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He looked right into the camera and he's like, you know, he had a drug problem, he beat it, and I'm proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like... That was good, man.
Right.
Respect.
Mm-hmm.
I respected that. Probably struck a nerve with middle America. I mean, geez, in Ohio in particular, like we're right in the middle of the opioid crisis.
Yep, for sure.
You know, I mean, it's bad here. All mm-hmm. the fentanyl and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was a strong showing by Biden. But other than that, he really didn't answer any of the questions.
Yep.
He thinks the Green New Deal is going to pay for itself. There's no way that happens.
Well, I thought that was probably his biggest blunder there.
Yeah.
He also said he did not support the Green New Deal.
Said it's his own plan, but it's the same plan?
And right on his website, it says the Green New Deal should be like a cornerstone. I don't know the exact wording, but it's right there on his campaign website.
Yeah.
And that was another opportunity that Trump missed on a follow-up to kind of pin him down, answer the question. Just as a regular old voter, that's always been my number one complaint against politicians in general. You just don't know what they're actually thinking. There's a 25-minute YouTube video on Hillary Clinton. She's basically changed her mind like 3 or 4 times on every single issue out there throughout the years. Joe Biden is clearly the Democrats' attempt to be a more center candidate, even though everything he's advocating for is pretty much left to far left.
Right. And Trump actually brought that up a few times in the debate, that when Joe Biden backed off some of the far left ideas and went a little more moderate, Trump called him out at least 2 or 3 times. Like, you just lost the far left. Now, does the far left, the Bernie Sanders supporters, do they flip and vote for Trump? I don't think so. Maybe they don't show up and vote.
That would be what I would say.
They're not going to flip, right? Now, obviously, that's a big generalization, but
right.
I would think for the most part, that just wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the next debate, I think, is October 15th. I believe that's a town hall format.
Yes.
So you're probably going to have the audience asking questions, and I don't know if it'll be a specific question for each candidate or if they're each going to get to answer the same question. I don't know how the format is going to work yet. But what are your expectations for debate number 2, D? Does Trump make a comeback? Does he give Biden a chance to screw up like everyone was expecting him to do? Like, what are your expectations for debate number 2?
Yeah, you know, I think Biden, he got a bump from what happened last night, really because the bar was so low. You know, I don't think you're going to see that low bar for debate number 2. In one of the polls, one of these political people I saw this morning, kind of like polling reaction voters, basically she said a third said Biden won, a third said Trump won, and a third said no one won. And she said, like, that number is the biggest that it's ever been, ever, by far. And I think a lot of people
that nobody won?
That no one won.
Yeah.
A third of the people said that no one won that debate. So Trump is obviously going to see that. He's going to see the criticism. I was seeing it last night on Twitter from very conservative people out there. It wasn't a good performance. So I would expect him to prepare for this one much better this time. And hopefully, from his perspective, really start to hammer out some of these issues. When I say issues, a lot of Biden's campaign is based on things that are not true.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of the Russia collusion is always a big one that's out there. I mean, that's been disproven many, many times.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that I think 27 cell phones were deleted.
Right.
Wiped completely.
So things like law and order. Trump really didn't get, he said law and order lots, but he didn't really get into, you know, what needs to happen to move this country forward. I think a lot of those undecided voters were looking for things like that. And look, everyone was expecting Biden to kind of screw this one up. He got through it just fine, in my opinion.
He got through it because he was able to continue to hide in the basement because he didn't get a chance to talk. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's ever watched any of the Democratic debates, the primary debates, right, with Biden and Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Biden never had much to say. Like, he could talk for 20 to 30 seconds and that was it. Mm-hmm. He didn't have much to say. So when he talks for 24 seconds and you jump in and cut him off, it looks like he actually knows what he's talking about.
Right.
You should have given the guy the full 2 minutes. He'd talk for a minute and he'd say, I got nothing left to say. So big, big miss by Donald Trump. I do think he recovers as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the next debate. I think my expectations are now low for Donald Trump. And maybe everyone's got those same low expectations.
What do you think market-wise? Do you think we're a Democratic sweep is back kind of on the table?
I was looking through our research reports today and almost seems like they're handing the election to Biden. Senate becomes the focus if the market believes Biden will win the presidency.
Right,
so that is the key.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there is a Democratic sweep, that's going to cause a lot of problems, man. You know, eliminating the filibuster. They're talking about just packing the Supreme Court. Right. And both of those, Biden completely avoided answering those questions. Mm-hmm. That's not good. That is changing the way this country has been run. You know, and they would do that only if they had all three powers,
right?
The House, the Senate, and the presidency. So I do not think that the Senate flips. I think the Senate still stays red. But right now, Trump has an uphill battle. He does.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it to himself. He had every opportunity to gain significant ground in this first debate, and he failed to do so. So we shall see. Any other observations that we should talk about before we wrap up this show, D?
You know, I think we hit on all the big ones. It was the first one. It was right around the corner from us here in Cleveland. It really just would have been a nice change of pace to see an actual fact-based debate. And you do have to wonder, the cable news networks, all of them, not, you know, left or right, they have all profited from the Trump candidacy and presidency.
Yep.
They're getting big ratings for stuff like that. You just wonder, are they even kind of adding to the sideshow at this point? So my last takeaway is, you know, hopefully the next one is better. You know, let's get some policy debate. Let's hear what these candidates want to do if they're elected. And then for us, you know, let's see how it's going to impact the market in 21 and beyond.
Yeah. One last thing I'll mention that I noticed as a takeaway from the debate. Like I said, Joe Biden did not answer really any of the questions. And his go-to move was to look into the camera and tell people they should go out and vote. I didn't see Trump look into the camera and talk to the people one time. Not one time.
It's a huge missed opportunity.
Huge miss. And a debate coach would have told him to do that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can look at Joe Biden, you can argue with him for the most part, but at least three times over the course of those 90 minutes, you need to look into the camera. Not at Chris Wallace. He was talking to Chris Wallace the whole time.
I know.
Nobody cares about Chris Wallace.
No.
You need to talk to the American people. Who cares about Chris? So I think that was a big miss. He's got to talk into the camera more. Look, I'm not a big Biden fan. Like I said, I think he dodged every single question out there. But I liked how he talked into the camera. I liked how he admitted that his son had a drug problem and said he was proud of him. Mm-hmm. Like, rather than backing off that and lying about it, he dealt with it head on. And I thought that was commendable. So hopefully we see a more gentlemanly approach in the next debate. And that can help some of these undecided voters to actually make a decision. Because I don't think this debate was helpful for the undecided voters.
Completely unhelpful.
Yeah. All right, man. So that wraps up today's show. As always, shoot us an email, info@swpconnect.com. Dee, where do we stand on the swag?
I got it right here. We're going to order some beautiful t-shirts here.
Okay. Are they just cotton or are we going to do like a performance?
We should do performance?
Yeah. People can wear them to the gym. Yeah.
Those are nice.
Yeah. We should do performance, right?
All right, we're breaking the bank here.
All right, man. We'll get that done.
Yeah. And some of the good coffee mugs as well.
All right.
You see me with these, but we'll get the branded ones. So leave those positive comments.
And, yeah. The deal is give us that 5-star review and just shoot us an email at info@swpconnect.com. Let us know you left us a review. And we'll send you some swag, baby. As always, check out the show notes, check out the YouTube channel, and we'll talk to you next time. Hey, it's Mark. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Look, if you wouldn't mind, please go to your podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you use, and give us a 5-star rating and review. You know, the best way for us to continue to educate and enlighten every single one of you is for more and more people to know about us. And your review would help us with that. Also, we've had quite a few listeners reach out to us lately asking about financial planning. So we've decided to offer a special to every single one of our listeners. It's a $495 comprehensive financial plan, no strings attached. You don't have to move your investments under our management. We're not going to use the plan as a gimmick to sell you a product. There's absolutely no hidden agenda and no further obligation on your part. You just get great conflict-free advice from us. And all you have to do is visit your495plan.com. That's your495plan.com. Fill out your info. One of our certified financial planners will reach out and begin to build out your plan. Visit your495plan.com today.